This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0 and is. What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe.
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall, the teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
Fox creeping forward. He pulls up, 18-footer. Aaron Fox puts the Kings on top. Makes once, fakes twice, gives to Belly. 35-foot three for the win. Nemanja Bjelica.
We deserve this win, man.
When we're done, we go chop it up, eat, right. Golf, whatever you want to do. But for these 48 minutes, I ain't about them games.
Welcome back to another episode of the King's Pulse podcast presented by the King's Herald. My name is Brendan Nunes. Got Rich Ivanowski on here as we usually do. What's going on, Rich? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. The Sacramento Republic just won their first game of the season. And just watched that on ESPN2. We got a little national broadcast. More love than the Kings get at times, quite honestly. But if you're a Republic fan, I want to recommend my other podcast, Rise of the Republic, on that. But yeah, I mean, look, getting to the King stuff, it's not as exciting right now. It's kind of a lot of bad to mixed news. Like, I'd say definitely on the bad side, a lot of the stuff coming out of camp so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we've touched on the Harrison Barnes news on here. Interestingly, Harrison Barnes, it was confirmed has COVID, and from my understanding, is still not joining the team in Orlando. I know Buddy Hield and Alex Len are there. I've heard that Buddy has joined practice. I didn't hear anything on Len joining the team or not. But yeah, Barnes, obviously one of the key guys of this team. I mean, obviously the hope is that he heals, first of all, and is just fine, you know, him and his family, with dealing with the COVID situation and in regards to for the Sacramento Kings. I mean, he's one of the guys that I've talked about right next to Fox with. I would want to give him some of the most minutes here. So there could be a lot of implications for him or anyone else with all the possible crazy situations that could go on at this bubble. And I think that's why today we were going to dive into the depth chart a little bit today.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and I don't think that we missed a podcast, so I believe we haven't talked since De'Aaron Fox sprained his ankle as well. So,
all right.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously huge news. If you are listening to this, you already know that. You're a big enough Kings fan that I'm sure we're not breaking the news to you that Fox sprained an ankle, left ankle, same ankle as the injury in November. Does not appear to be of the same severity, thankfully, but we don't know the deal exactly. He will be reevaluated in about a week's time.
Yeah, definitely concerning. I mean, especially for guys that are, you would think, still trying to get back into game shape, even if I'm sure most of these players have kept up good shape. You hear players say all the time, it's just different to be in NBA game shape, and it's going to take a little while for guys to do that. So, you know, coming in a little bit beat up when you would think that most guys are going to go in fairly healthy is not a great sign. And like you said, it being the same ankle, definitely a little bit of concerns about maybe this coming up throughout his career, but let's hope not. And like you said, the report I saw was 9 to 10 days. So Fox should be a go out there when they get their first warm-up games going on.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I saw speculation that he probably would sit out the first scrimmage, but yeah, I mean, the indications are that it won't affect the actual, you know, the actual games, the games that count. But yeah,
playoffs hopes, it better not.
Yeah, no, I just that's a concern. And then, you know, like Harrison Barnes really is pushing up against the limits. I don't know the exact guidelines. I'm not sure anyone does for sure. Things seem to be like a little bit strange and amorphous at times. Like, you know, Rashawn Holmes got 10 days of isolation for picking up his Postmates. But at the same time, like Zion Williamson left the bubble and will only have to quarantine for 4 days when he returns. So I don't know. But the point is that rather than say, like, we know for certain any one player will be absent from the Kings lineup, I think that it's, from my perspective, it's safe to say that it's a really high-risk environment where, you know, injuries, potential pandemic, you know, Postmates orders, like anything could keep out any player at any time. So that's why I thought we'd go deeper here and explore, you know, a little bit more of the bench in our analysis of these games.
Yeah, I definitely think that'd be a good exercise to do here. And, you know, there's a they have a fighting chance for this play-in game where I think you and I'll speak for myself. I think Memphis is going to stay in that eight spot with a pretty comfortable lead they got going there. And, yeah, competing with Portland and New Orleans for that play-in game, I think Sacramento's got a decent chance here, assuming no injuries. But like you said, we'll kind of go through the depth that, interestingly, I think at the beginning of the year we kind of pointed this out. I think Sacramento has some decent depth to them at some positions more than others for sure, though.
Yeah, I think in general that was going to be a strength of this team. And then, yeah, I mean, six different players having limited availability already. That's over a third of the roster. You know, that's tough. So, yeah, let's get into it. And I thought a way that we could do this is we could play a little game, make a little game out of it. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to ask you what you feel the percentage chance is that the Kings make that play-in game against Memphis. And I want to get a baseline. So we'll start, you know, under the assumption that everyone is fully healthy, fully available, ready to go, like a full strength roster. What's your percentage chance the Kings make that play-in game?
You know, it's a little optimistic, but it's kind of just an easier number for this as well. And I believe in them. I think they have a 50% chance of making this play-in game. We've kind of gone through the other team's schedules. I think Portland's going to be really difficult. I worry about Dame just absolutely popping off for, you know, eight games, even like four of them, dropping, you know, 100 over three games is totally something Dame's going to do throughout this stretch. But, you know, I think Sacramento's got a good chance with the schedule they're looking at. They hold their fate in their own hands. Two Pelicans games, kind of ran through that. I'm starting at 50% here.
That's really high. I will say I'm not going to comment too much on your personal opinions, and I appreciate you giving yourself some room, but I think that's what's going on here. You want to be able to get down at varying levels.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
For this game, when we're going to go through this and we're going to throw out every kind of scenario, if each player or combination of players is unavailable, I'm going to ask Brendan for his number, his percentage at that point. So, yeah, you're going to want – I see you want some downward mobility here.
Yeah, I want a little bit here. And, yeah, you're right. 50 is probably a little high. Like, I wouldn't – if it wasn't for the sake of this game, I'd probably be around more of like a 40, even the 35-ish. But yeah, for the sake of this, I don't think it's crazy to think they have a 50% chance. I am being optimistic and leaving myself a little bit of space though. Yeah.
No. And in your defense, if we like are for sure the Kings are 100% available, considering that that probably won't be the case for the other teams, then maybe that advantage would get them to 50%. So I'm not going to knock you too much for this, but so I'll just say before we get into the meat of it, Walton likes to keep an 8 or 9 man rotation. He said specifically he wanted an 8 or 9 man rotation in Orlando, but he's acknowledged that's probably not going to happen, right? They're just going to be reaching deeper into their bench for all these reasons we've discussed. So first of all, I mean, you can establish this. I think we kind of all know, but who are like your nine guys that are in this rotation? Say everyone's fully healthy.
Yeah, so the obvious ones are Fox, Bogey, Buddy, Barnes, and Holmes. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys right there. I'm going to put Bielitsa in there as well for 7. And then,
I think you only named 5.
Okay.
And then added Bielitsa.
Got it. Okay. So, yeah, you're right there. And then Bielitsa, that makes 6. I'll put Kojo literally just every minute that Fox can't play. I really like Kojo as a backup, but I think we've said it before. I just want to get Fox as many minutes as possible. But all the minutes Fox isn't out there, Corey Joseph can take his place. And then for the backup 5, I mean, this is interesting to me because I think that you really can split it, and it's going to depend on the scenario between Bagley, Len, and Giles. Like the first game, I think you're going against a kind of uninspiring front court, and I think you're going to give Bagley and Giles some run. And if they can get clicking, that uninspiring front court being the San Antonio Spurs without LaMarcus Aldridge. And I think you give Bagley and Giles some run there. And if they can get clicking, hopefully a little bit of positive momentum, those are guys you're going to try out. And then Len is the fallback safe option. So, yeah, I'll go Fox, Bogey, Buddy, Barnes, Holmes, and then Bielitsa, Corey Joseph. And I'll throw Marvin Bagley.
Yeah, I think that's a solid 8. I would probably add Bazemore on the wing to back up Bogey and Buddy. Yeah,
I forgot about that one. You're totally right there.
That's probably the 9, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then all right, so, a safety one for me.
Okay. So I don't think we're going to get 10. In like an ideal scenario where everyone's healthy, I think Bagley's getting those backup center minutes. That's my personal opinion. And Len is probably the odd man out there. But we'll get to that right now because I'm going to start picking guys off. I'm going to start pulling guys out and see how you react. So starting with the percentage chance, right? So we've established baseline 50% that they make the playing game. I'm going to pull Rashawn Holmes out and tell me how you react, your percentage, and then how you're changing that rotation.
Oh, well, man, for a team that like already can't defend the rim, and you pointed out to me actually like – I think a lot of Kings fans have definitely overrated Holmes defensively there, but like legitimately, I don't know who else is going to really be able to defend the paint. At that point, I guess you're starting Bagley at the 5 and you just try to really outrun everyone. You know, we've heard a little bit of rumblings of like wanting to keep the pace back up. So I guess that's what you're doing there, but man, this is a rough one to start out. The percentage is dropping a lot here though, because it's a big drop off after Holmes to Bagley, Leonard, Giles at this backup 5. I mean, it's at least at most 20%. I'm probably even, yeah, like a 15% chance here. I think that is a big loss for a guy that we've kind of called the MVP a couple times this year.
Yeah, that's a huge difference. Going all the way down to 15, 20%. And then who are you? Are you doing Len as the backup to Bagley?
Yeah, as the backup to Bagley, yeah, that's probably what I'm going with there. And yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of depth at the 4 because, you know, you could maybe play with some Bielitsa minutes at the 5. Like, they've done it a tiny bit this year against bench units. But pretty much, yeah, Bagley's the starting 5 and then Len's the backup 1 there.
Gotcha. Okay, let's go to – this one's – little bit of an oddball because I don't know if he's going to be starting or not. I could totally see him starting, but I could also, you know, I've advocated for him to come off the bench, as have you, as has Tim, as has Sanjesh, a lot of the Kings Herald crew, and a lot of people in general. Let's pull. So say Holmes is back in. Now we're going to pull Nemanja Bielitsa out.
Ooh. So to me, the way this lineup changes is you slide Barnes to the 4 and you're either starting Bazemore or Buddy at the 3. I'd probably go with Bazemore, and I'm fine with Brewer stepping in and taking up those backup minutes that Bazemore had before. Bielitz is actually a guy I've kind of labeled as, I think he should get less minutes in the bubble. I think he is kind of a defensive liability here. But you are losing a good bit of depth, and we know that the Kings need shooting from their front court spot, especially like along someone like a Holmes or Bagley. But yeah, I think he could be one of the lesser contributors compared to what he was doing in the regular season. I'm still going to knock it down like 10% here. I think that lowers it to about a 40% chance here.
Okay, not too severe. And you're giving a lion's share of those minutes to Brewer, which I like. I think that's interesting and realistic. Kind of moving down the lineup here, let me kind of do a combination question here. You know what? No, first let's start with Barnes, because this one might be very real. This one might be very, very real. Barnes still in Sacramento, still at home. If he cannot make it out to the bubble in time, assume that Bielitsa and Holmes are back in. So we're just talking Barnes out right now.
Yeah, I mean, I said 15-20% from Holmes. I feel like this has got to be even lower, actually. I mean, this is a guy that I think, again, should get some of the most minutes right next to Fox. I think that a lot of those should come at the four, but really he's your only quality. As I look over the depth chart again, I think this is right. I think he's really your only quality like wing defender that has a chance of even slowing down some of these guys. When you look at, I mean, I guess the guys they're going up against aren't crazy. Like you think of the two LA teams. I mean, they only play the Lakers on the last game of the season. But say like a Brandon Ingram or a Zion Williamson, even minutes that you maybe want to throw at like Luka Doncic or something like that. I mean, he's probably your best defender and your most versatile one that for a place that I already said there's some lack of depth at the four. I mean, this one is going to hurt a lot. And like you said, there's a chance of this happening. I'm going down to, I think it's a like 7% chance if Barnes is there. Isn't there?
Like, well, yeah, this is hurt. This is a legit horrific scenario, and it's like maybe happening. You know, I don't think people are even worried enough about this. I wrote an article today for the B that talks about this a lot, just basically going into. It's actually a draft piece talking about Patrick Williams. And the like my macro point is like, hey, the Kings probably need a combo forward, like, because they only have one. They like legit only have Harrison Barnes that can play the forward spots. Like, you can argue that Bielitsa is a power forward, and you can argue that, you know, Kent Bazemore can play the three, or that Bogey can play the three, but like, there is no one on the roster that can play both forward spots other than Harrison Barnes, which is terrible, which is disastrous. Like, it's the most important position in the game, in the modern game. And they've just got straight up nobody behind Barnes, and it's going to be a disaster. I think it could be like, I mean, playing, you know, the Rockets are on the schedule and their entire roster is combo forwards. Right. It's really like going to be bad news. Yeah, and I mean, like,
sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. There's no better place to start than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Get in on the action for this week's big UFC fight, or check out odds on NASCAR, Formula One, and the Premier League. Can't wait for your team to come back? BetOnline has futures odds, including win totals, division winners, and even league championships. Or check out daily simulations of Madden and NBA 2K to watch and wager on. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
So in terms of replacing this, replacing this player, like, I mean, this is where I'm kind of interested to go deeper. Like, are you seeing any minutes for DaQuan Jeffries? I know Coach Walton has said that Jeffries has been getting run at the three. Justin James said that he is getting a little run at the three. Like, are you just kind of trying to slap Corey Brewer in there, or like, what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm just sliding my small forwards down, which, like you said, Barnes probably really is the only small forward on this team. But then after, like, on my depth chart, I have Bazemore and Brewer, and you probably just give a majority of the minutes to Bazemore and just additional ones to Buddy / Bogey playing at the three, and then some backup minutes to Brewer as well. But, I mean, it's a big downgrade, and you probably just got to give a majority of it to Bazemore, I feel like. And then, like I said, also, like, Bogey playing at the three, or Buddy, whichever one you want to say is playing at the three, up those minutes a little bit more too.
Mm-hmm. So, no rookies cracking the rotation here?
I don't think so. Unless, I mean, it starts to look like you're not making it, you know, or obviously, like, situation where you feel like you have a little bit of wiggle room to try something. I think these eight games are too valuable.
In that scenario, say the Kings start 0-3. When do you crack into the, you know, the development group? When are you like, you know what, these are good minutes for Justin James and Daquan Jeffries to get some run?
0-3 probably does it. I would still maybe hold out hope because you're playing the Pelicans in that next one in the fourth game. Obviously you'd have to gauge how the other team started. If the Pelicans or Blazers or both somehow started 3-0 themselves, then yeah, I'm pretty close to throwing in the towel at that point, and you really are just looking for developmental minutes, a lot to Bagley at that point. And like you're saying, I'm interested in Jeffries. I like Justin James. But yeah, I'd probably hold that hope until that New Orleans one, just because it's a direct competitor. But yeah, I mean, 3-0, you're pretty much calling it at that point. And 4-0, you definitely are.
Yeah, great point about New Orleans. I mean, if you win both those games, you know, 5-3 is still doable if you can get those two off New Orleans. So good point. Sliding down some more, and I'm going to do this one as a combination. Can you do for me Buddy and Bogey kind of together and separately, right? So everyone else is healthy. You know, is it going to be the same percentage drop? I want to know. This is a good question. I want to know, like, which one being gone affects the percentage more.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, these were going to be the tough ones for sure. I mean, I think I like Bogey a little bit better, but I honestly don't know how much. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get some more defense from him as well, and I think that Bogey benefits the starters a bit more, but obviously Buddy's been benefiting that bench unit. I don't know. I think I got to call it even here. And either way, if you're losing one of these guys, though, I mean, it's a big hit to the scoring of the team, to the creation, the staggering that you're going to have to do when Fox isn't out there, which, you know, hopefully you don't have to do as much, because you would like to think that you can just ride Fox a little more than usual. But yeah, I mean, this is a big hit. I think either one of those guys you lose, maybe it's a cop-out, I'm going to call it even. I'd go 15% for either one.
So break the tie. You have a magical choice here. Obviously silly hypothetical, but if you had to lose one, or if you could only keep one, who are you keeping?
I think it's Buddy. Because you're only playing eight games. Like, Buddy can catch fire. Buddy can win you, like, a game or two. I mean, it's not to say that Bogey can't. I don't know. I think I'm going with Buddy. He's a little more hit or miss. But I think that just straight shooting, if you really are picking the pace up a guy that leads the team in scoring, barely didn't this year, but, you know, is always really up there. I think that I'd probably rather go with that one. And then you kind of have Bazemore taking Bogey's minutes as a little bit more of a glue guy in a way, which Bogey seemed to fall into a little bit, although he was like a very high level glue guy when he got moved to that starting lineup.
Yeah. And I think I think that I'm with you. Just maybe just the shooting alone. It's like in eight games, Bogey feels more replaceable. I mean, like, Bogdanovich, Bazemore feels like more of a one-to-one translation to what Bogdanović can do.
Right.
It's not great, but yeah. So, and you had them both at 15% chance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really hurts for either one of these. I think that, you know, maybe you could make a case for a little bit higher, but I think that these guys and Fox are really like kind of all your creation.
I'm surprised that you think it's as severe as if Rashawn Holmes went down, just because, you know, they play a similar position where I think there's maybe more replacement there.
Yeah. You know, the other guy could kind of just take more minutes and step up. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I just reacting to your responses here, but yeah. And then, you know, how are you feeling this? We kind of talked into it and around it, but you're just slapping Bazemore into that other wing spot and then giving what? I mean, are you still giving Brewer these minutes? Because at shooting guard in particular, he is not a great shooter.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that you'd have to put Bazemore at a lot of these two guard minutes, and maybe this is a situation where you're trying a little bit of Jeffries or Justin James, but for the most part, I mean, that would be the same thing that kind of how I feel about Bagley Giles, is that you'd have to have them on a really short leash. Like, you're trying it for a 4 or 5 minute stretch, and if it's just clearly not working out, like, I understand that's kind of unfair to those guys, but you have only 8 games that you're working with here. So yeah, I'd probably slide Bazemore to that 2 spot. And then I already want Barnes getting a heavy load of minutes, and then probably have, yeah, Brewer at that backup 3. Yeah. And interestingly, again, I mean, that's another spot that you could kind of see Jeffries or Justin James slotting in a little bit. And probably just for the sake of him having a little bit of NBA experience and more time with the big league, I'd probably lean Justin James. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going with here, that Bazemore would become a backup 2 here, and then Brewer and Justin James kind of split these backup 3 minutes, majority to Brewer.
Yeah, and another concern here is that James and Jeffries both aren't great shooters, as well as Brewer. So, I mean, like, Bazemore is your best shooter out of this group, and he's not, like, a great shooter. So,
yeah,
I mean, you might even need to sign somebody, like, at that point.
Yeah.
Just anyone that can knock down shots. But, yeah, so, I mean, I guess we get to the main event here in some ways. All right, yeah, go ahead. Explain it.
Yeah, if De'Aaron Fox is not playing, the Kings, you know, 0 is probably unfair. Like, I guess anything can happen, blah, blah, blah. Like, what? Like, they'll give this team, like, a 2% chance or something. But De'Aaron Fox is this entire team. Like, I think that part of the reason that the Kings are going to have a chance for this play-in is that I think De'Aaron Fox really needs to be more aggressive and assert himself and kind of just dominate some of these games and take over. I think the entire team revolves around him. I'm not comfortable with, you know, all the playmaking going to Buddy and Bogey to handle that. Like, are you just going to see a little bit of like Dallas Mavericks Harrison Barnes trying to initiate the offense? I just don't see how this works. Like, Fox is kind of the whole team to me. I think everything kind of revolves around him, and you know, there's minutes they get away with it. Like, I think Kodjo's a fine, like, low-level starting point guard. But, I mean, yeah, if you look at that and you compare it to Pelicans, New Orleans roster, like, some of these games just get a lot more difficult. And, yeah, I mean, he's the whole engine of your team. I think it's kind of – that's really what it is. I won't say it's impossible, I guess, but it's really close to 0. Like I said, I'll give it, like, a 2% chance.
I'll respect that. I do quickly want to get you down to 0. What does that take? Is that what, Fox plus anybody?
Yeah, like, honestly, Fox and
basically anyone else.
Yeah, pretty much. Like any one of those rotation guys. Like if it's any of Fox and then like
Fox and Bazemore. Barnes or Holmes. Is Fox and Bazemore zero? Ugh.
See, this is my thing, is that I just didn't want to say zero. So if you're like just trying to get me to say zero, like I really can say that for Fox.
If you're gonna say that you'll never go to zero, then I can move on. But if you're given real numbers and zero is gonna be one of them, I want to just get to that.
So like the only reason I didn't pick zero is because I don't want to say that anything's impossible. But if I was giving out zeros, Fox would going out would be the zero.
Effective zero. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Okay. Cool. So
are you kind of the same way here?
Yeah. Right. I mean, like I will say that the Kings did go 9-8 when Fox sprained his ankle. So like weirdly good basketball was played. There was a weirdly lot of wins, but I do not buy that as something that could happen again. So yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm definitely with you. We've done like kind of the primary starters, and now I want to do some backup guys and see kind of how you would react to some bench players going out. You know, and obviously the numbers are going to be not as affected as dramatically, but I think it can still be revealing of what you're going to do in this situation, so you're going to bring into the rotation. Marvin Bagley.
I mean, I don't know how much this really affects it. Like, I already think that majority of your minutes at the four go to Bielitsa and Barnes. Bagley really is like a big X factor here. There's a chance that him playing makes the team worse, like we've been saying it.
I wanted to hear that. I mean, I mean, I don't, and I do.
The percentage
I just wanted
not
to
go up.
Did it go to 52?
No, I can't do
55%.
That. 55%. Oh, God. No, I can't go up on this, but like it's really not going down.
But
much.
You could go up.
Yeah, I guess you could. Oh.
They have a terrible record when Marvin Bagley plays. His net rating is atrocious. 0-11 in games that he's started in his career is horrific.
Yeah. But if they legitimately are bringing the pace back, like I think that's where Marvin, I mean, it's always been hypothetical, but that's where he fits with Fox, right? And I think that you would hope that if Bagley's a negative out there, that you're just not really playing him. Man, I think I'm just going to stay at the 50.
Okay, no effect for the number two overall pick.
Shit.
The 2018 draft. Yeah, let me ask you something. Is Luke Walton a bad coach?
You know, I don't want to rush to do that label. Like, I think I understand aspects of what he's doing with, like, slowing it down, and you really need to have a half-court offense, and the Kings didn't have much of that at all before, but they also got rid of their biggest strength in the full-court offense and the high pace, obviously, but you know, I've seen it justified a little bit with like Fox and Bagley, the two guys that probably are the reason that you do that most, were out a lot of the year. So I kind of see it like, I don't know. I mean, I think obviously you look at like Buddy Hield and he didn't utilize that well. I don't want to rush to say I don't want to put a good or bad label on him yet, but I'm definitely skeptical of his coaching job.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there kind of out of the blue, because I was listening to Sam Vecenie's podcast the other day, and he said he was talking about Luke Walton, and he said he's concerned that he might not be a good coach. And I think he said something to the effect of there are not many bad coaches in the NBA. The level of coaching is very high. Even compared to, you know, just past seasons, but Luke Walton might be the one he is most worried about being a genuinely bad coach.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think there's free agent coaches that I would prefer over Walton, and that probably says a lot.
He might be the worst coach in the league.
Jim Boylan style there.
That's true. That's a great, that's a fantastic point.
Thibodeau might be a coach soon. Like,
that's a good point.
But no, I mean, that's the competition you're working with, you know, like I definitely see where you're coming from.
Yeah, bottom five, right?
Yeah, probably. And did you hear also Vasini in the I think he was talking with Spencer Perlman about a bunch of their draft disagreements, and he had like a good 30 seconds of just ranting about how pissed he was about the Kings' utilization of Bagley.
I haven't heard that one yet. But the one before that, he also did that.
I think he's ranting about top in a little bit. It's interesting.
I think he's ranting about Marvin Bagley on his podcast now on most episodes. Tune into any episode of Game Theory with Sam Vecenie, and you'll get a little rant. I appreciate him caring because most people just accept that the Kings suck at handling Bagley and just move on. I appreciate him putting up a fight about that. I really do. But moving back to what we were going through here, I've got one that I think is kind of interesting. Corey Brewer.
Oh, the other Corey.
The other Corey, yeah. Corey Brewer, he's a guy that, like, you have probably mentioned in pretty much every scenario here so far as, like, maybe the first guy in for any forward or wing or shooting guard. Like, aside from point guard and center, he's kind of the first guy in, it seems like, in any scenario. Who is taking Corey Brewer's, like, backup minutes? And this would have to be, like, someone else going out for – you know what? I'm actually going to do this differently.
Yeah, it'd have to be two guys.
It'd have to be two guys.
Because Brewer's just, like, the fallback right now for me.
But he's, like, the fallback for, like, a bunch of scenarios.
Right.
So – Or yeah, I guess I'll start with that. Like, who's your fallback to him? Like, who is the next fallback guy? Because now I feel like we have to get into the rookies.
Right, because, I mean, like, if you're talking a two-guard, like, Bazemore's playing the two or the three, pretty much. And I don't feel good about Brewer playing the two. I don't know. I guess you could get away with it. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, you're pretty much – it's – Taquan Jeffries or Kyle or Justin James.
Yeah, and do you have a strong preference?
Not a strong one. I'd probably lean James just because he has NBA minutes, but also, like, Jeffries has a prototype of a guy that you could kind of just plug and play.
Yeah, I lean Jeffries for what it's worth.
Okay, yeah, I could be talked into either one. Like, I just slightly would say James just because I feel like he spent more time with the Major League club.
Support for the King's Pulse podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over the technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Listen, we all have a time where we have hurt ourselves or at least been terrified to hurt ourselves. I know I do, trimming below the waist. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team has spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. This is a premium tool with a battery that lasts up to 90 minutes, works in the shower so you can take care of your business in there if you prefer that. Also has an extremely cool LED light attached to it that illuminates the grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that chunk of yours. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code KingsPulse at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code KingsPulse, no space, KingsPulse at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code KingsPulse with no space.
So, say Kent Bazemore is out. Does that affect the percentage chance to you? Because Marvin Bagley didn't.
Yeah.
So, in a weird way, I'm like asking, is Kent Bazemore more valuable to this team than Marvin Bagley?
Over these eight games? I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I
think how much so?
It doesn't hurt you like crazy, I don't think, because, you know, like I said, I think you're already playing Barnes a lot, even if some of those minutes are at the four, but then some of these bogey slash buddy minutes will go to the three and Brewer just fills it in a little bit there. But, you know, I think it hurts you like, what, like a 45, 42% you're going down to here.
Would you rather lose Bazemore or Bielitsa?
Well, I'd probably, well, because I said 40% for Bielitsa. You know, I'd probably rather lose Bielitsa.
Which, yeah, I mean, I see the argument, honestly, because there's just
move Barnes to the four. Like, and you have a little bit of wing depth. I like
just because there's no, like, small forward options. I mean, Corey Brewer is going to be playing a lot of wing if Bazemore goes down.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, Bielitsa, I mean, you just give most of Barnes' minutes at the four and – yeah, the three just becomes like Bazemore with Brewer and Bogey. Yeah, I mean, I'd probably prefer to lose Bielitsa just because he's like one of the guys I've kind of circled as I think that he could be a little bit more of an issue. He's a guy that I kind of view as a little bit of a regular season player, and I think this is almost going to be a playoff sort of situation over these eight games.
Yeah, it's understandable. Like at the same time, maybe he just goes for like 17 points a game because he's just bombing three. Maybe he like legitimately shoots 55% from three over these eight games. You know what I mean?
A lot of hot starts. Like I think both of these last years, like he's literally been insane the start of the years. So
yeah, no, like he legit shoots 50% on the first eight games of like most periods of his life.
Yeah.
So it could go the other way, but yeah, like the Bazemore thing is interesting to me because if Bazemore were not to be available, you're pretty much looking at guys playing huge minutes at the wing who have not played basketball this year, basically, like at a professional level. You're looking at Brewer, you're looking at James, you're looking at Jeffries, who I think combined are less than 500 minutes of basketball, NBA basketball.
Right. Yeah, and obviously a far from ideal situation there. Yeah, I think this is going to be a really interesting question. I'm going to tweet this one out from the KP account for sure and see what people think. But yeah, I'd probably, for the reasons that we've stated, I'd probably rather be without Bielitsa, even though both would be a decent hit here. Yeah, it's definitely rough. And I mean, another spot that I think you're probably going to get to, and maybe I'm jumping the gun, but like if you lose Corey Joseph.
That's next. So let's just do that right now. Say Corey Joseph's out. How much does that affect your chances?
Yeah, I mean, so like I want Fox getting what, like 38 minutes, you know, assuming,
wow, move over Tom Thibodeau.
It, right, but it's eight games, dude. Like if he can handle it, you know, and that, yeah, I think that that's kind of what you want to be doing here. So that being said though, like Yogi Ferrell for 8 minutes, you could really get screwed over for those 8 minutes. Especially if you already have a Buddy Hield or a Bielitsa or a Bagley or a Giles out there as well, like your defense can have some serious holes. So yeah, I don't know. Like this one, I don't think it hurts quite as much as Bazemore. It's pretty close to these, though. I think that this is another situation. I'm kind of like between this 40 to 45 mark.
Yeah, I mean, add him as an option in that tweet, honestly, because it's
right.
It's similar. And you could even do Bagley as like the fourth option and watch him absolutely lose a Twitter poll against those other players for most valuable in these eight games. But you mentioned Ferrell. Is it Ferrell? Like that's kind of his role, right? Is like third string point guard, but is that even how it would work out? I'm not sure.
Interesting.
I mean, like, what if you have Bogey cover the backup one, and then you're just going more Brewer? Even, I mean, like, legit, I think Justin James could get looks on the wing in that scenario before Farrell gets, like, you know, backup 1 minutes.
That's interesting. You know, you're right. I think that's what you would try. Like, you move Bogey to the one, and maybe even like Bazemore there as well. Another guy that I'd feel at least like, I don't know how comfortable bringing the ball up the floor, but more so than like a Buddy or a Yogi Ferrell for the most part. And like maybe could get away with some minutes guarding opposing ones in a situation where you're kind of screwed here in the minutes that Fox isn't out there. So yeah, you're probably right. You'd probably give the 1 minute, like your backcourt would probably become like a Bogey Bazemore sort of situation.
So jumping back to center briefly, did I nail you down on like who is playing backup five for you if Bagley's out, as far as Len Giles?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Alex Len. I think that I don't think you don't give Harry Giles minutes, but he's just so sporadic with his level of play. Like, I think that I said it a couple times, like, he's just a guy that I'd have out there on a short leash. And if I have to pick one, I'm picking Len just because I feel like you know what you're getting.
Okay. That's fine. I'm always going to be here to stand for Harry Giles. That's my promise. I had a dream recently. I think I shared this with you, but I had a dream. It felt so real that Harry Giles signed with the Miami Heat in the off season. Yeah. And while I was heartbroken, I did buy that Miami Vice jersey with Giles on the back.
Yeah. I don't blame you. That would be an absolutely gorgeous jersey. And it's literally just, you know, taking the Bam out of bio place. He's not bringing the ball up the floor or anything, but, you know, they get to run a little bit of an offense. I think that, interestingly, also say like what team is Jokic on? Why can't I think of the damn name?
Denver?
Yeah. Like, I mean, just because it would be the same play style sort of thing that you'd be working with a little bit as that backup five. But yeah, like, I totally think like between Len and Giles, like Giles is the one that I could even potentially like win you a quarter. You know, I don't think Len is going to do that on his own, but Giles also could completely lose you a quarter. So that's why I kind of just go with, again, like the consistency of Len, even if it's not a very high level of play that you're necessarily getting.
Mm-hmm. So this one's obviously a zero, but for the sake of figuring out what the wing looks like depth wise, say that Buddy and Bogey were both not available. Who are you starting at the two and the three? I mean, I guess you could start Barnes at the three, Belly at the four. Who are you starting at the two? And then who is like getting backup minutes at the two and the three?
Yeah, I think you got to start Bazemore at the two. Kind of sucks for shooting, but there's not a great deal of options at that point. And then, yeah, like, again, Brewer and like the other three guys you work with, but splitting the backup 2 and 3 minutes is Brewer, James, and Jeffries. Like I said, I lean James a little bit more than Jeffries, but I think there's an argument for Jeffries there. So yeah, I think that Bazemore would slide into that starting two, and then you'd work between those three guys to kind of work out the backup minutes at the 2 and 3 spot.
You mentioned shooting being rough there. I mean, would you consider Farrell getting a look here? A little more of a consistent shooter. And I'm going to throw his name out there because it hasn't been mentioned yet. I mean, Kyle Guy can shoot.
Yeah, like, so you're talking the backup two, right? Not the starting spot?
In this scenario where you're marching out, and also you can talk about Corey Joseph potentially getting into like more minutes, but you know, if you're margining out Fox, Bays, Barnes, Belly, Holmes as your starters, I mean, yeah. I guess it's simple to just say we'll give more, we'll just keep giving minutes to Brewer. He's like this default that we just keep giving minutes to. But I mean, if you're really looking for shooting guard skill, I mean, I think you can make an argument for Farrell or Guy in that specific role.
Yeah, I think you could. Yeah, I'd still probably try more Joseph minutes. I think that that's a guy that, you know, I do think like he is a playoff caliber backup guy. And, you know, you just try a little bit more with him and Fox out there. I mean, again, shooting is a worry, but like seeing somewhat okay catch and shooting from Corey Joseph. It's obviously streaky, but you would just rely on a little bit more defense there. And yeah, I mean, I'm really hesitant to throw like any of Guy, Jeffries, Farrell, like Justin James, like it just, it, I mean, it's a situation like obviously said it a bunch, like it's eight games that are determining everything for you at this point, and I'm really just gonna rely on the guys that have kind of been through it a little bit more as much as I can.
Yeah, I'll say for myself, I think in a situation where you're losing a lot of shooting, so say it's Buddy and Bielitsa out, or Buddy and Bogey out, or Bogey and Bielitsa out, I might give Guy a chance here. 40% shooter on absurd like 10 threes a game type volume in the G League. He's not terribly experienced, obviously, in the NBA, but you know, won a championship in college. Definitely like a clutch guy. Like he's gonna give you all types of problems on defense, but I think I would give Guy a shot, if not for like the development of it, where you know, that's even if you're not throwing in the towel, like the towel's kind of been thrown in at this point. If you're losing this much shooting, I might give Guy a look.
Yeah, I don't hate it because, like you said, I mean, there is like the one translatable skill you would hope for sure with Guy there, and I guess they ran him at point guard a little bit. You know, maybe you'd play with some minutes there as well. And yeah, I definitely don't mind giving him a look. Like you said, it's a far from ideal situation, and I definitely see your logic there.
All right, so one player left we have not discussed. What do I have to do to get you to say the words Jabari Parker?
Oh, my God. He exists. He's not. No, like Jabari Parker's not happening. There's no.
What's the scenario? Explain to me a scenario where Jabari Parker gets 10 minutes again.
All right, so there's no. You're the worst for this. So let's say that, like, I'll say I can't exit Barnes because, yeah, okay. So if Jabari Parker's only playing the four, like if there's no Bielitsa, no Bagley, like, I don't know literally who else on the team can play the four aside from Barnes.
Yeah.
Like Giles, I guess.
Justin James, a little stretch.
No, like, you know, like if you're playing the Rockets, I guess. Like, but no, I mean, if Bielitsa and Bagley both went down, like, I guess like
that's Bazemore might get minutes to four at that point.
I'd probably try it before Jabari Parker. I think Luke Walton would try Parker first, but
yeah. Oh
God. Yeah, I mean, I think that if Bielitsa and Bagley went down, you actually could see Jabari Parker minutes. Oh, I hate
Bielitsa,
it.
Bielitsa and Bagley went down. Okay, so yeah, I mean
imagine yeah, if maybe. Barnes and Bielitsa go down, your four rotation is Bagley and Jabari Parker.
I mean, maybe like Giles is getting looks that I think he should play more for. He should definitely play more for. I don't know, man. I mean, this is the end of the segment when we start talking about Jabari Parker. So that's all I got for you.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I honestly made an entire depth chart before this, and I did not write the name Jabari Parker. Totally forgot he was on the roster.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I think that kind of like we've known, the most important guys really seem to be Fox, Barnes, and Holmes. Touched on kind of Bogey and Buddy. If one were to go down, able to at least slightly fill each other's role to the point where it wouldn't be extremely detrimental. So, yeah, I mean, kind of as expected, I think Fox, Barnes, and Holmes being the three key guys and least replaceable ones, really.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think I you know, I agree with pretty much everything you said. Our only like differing points, I think, is I'm a little higher on DaQuan Jeffries than you, which has been, I think, the case for a while. I am probably going to be quicker to want to give the kids more time. The rookies on the roster, I'd probably be a little bit quicker to get them out there. I'm a little bit than Alex on Alex Len than you are, which I think we've established. And yeah, I also don't think it's like the death sentence losing Rashawn Holmes. I don't think it's the death sentence necessarily that you think that it is, only because he has been out of it for so long with the shoulder injury. And I think I would have optimism if Bagley had to start. Not that I think it would go great, but like I could see a scenario where Bagley's the starting center and good things happen. And I think that's just tied to how strongly I feel that Bagley is, in fact.
Yeah, and I don't think you're alone. Zach Lowe put out a piece talking about 13 fascinating lineups he wants to see when the season restarts. And he mentioned De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Harrison Barnes, and Marvin Bagley. And Sanjesh did a great job kind of breaking down that lineup a little bit at the Kings Herald. But you're definitely not alone in that. I'm very much with you at this Bagley play in the five. I do think, again, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that losing Holmes would be a big deal. But I wouldn't hate getting Bagley at the 5 minutes for, yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, this is a team that, despite not being super young, like, you still need developmental minutes with like Fox and Bagley specifically. So I don't hate it, but yeah, obviously far from ideal.
Definitely. But yeah, that's about it for us today. Definitely check out what Sanjesh wrote over on kingsherald.com along with all the other great stuff. Sanjesh is going off right now. He is hot. He's bringing the heat. Video breakdowns on Giles, on the 60th pick, Vanja Marinkovic, on all types of guys. I think he's got some home stuff up there as well. So check him out while he's hot, and check out kingsherald.com as well as the Patreon.
Yeah, Bryant will have some draft stuff going up there on guys we have and haven't talked about. And yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of the Kings Pulse Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, rate, and review. And you will hear from us again in the next couple of days here.